right, what's up, everybody, for this special holidays version of 4D. Of course, I am Dan Rupert. We have our lovely, amazing assistant, Vanna White. Joseph Massey with us.
What's going on, everybody, man?
Of course, this is 4D. We got the Dallas Cowboys, which, of course, what we're all here to talk about. We got draft talk, which we talk about, and of course Doomsday Defense, which this year is actually the Doomsday Defense.
We do have a Doomsday Defense. It is back.
Well, there's a couple things we can maybe touch that, but there are a couple we need to work on. But yes, it is a really, really good defense. So first things first, you know, we had a very special guest last week, and we all made our predictions and we watched the game, and we all walked away from the game still feeling a little unsure, right?
Yeah.
Which I think we'll get into before we get to the next game. Some comments made today in an Amari Cooper interview that he did on 105.3. But first, let's go back to the previous game. You know, look, we won. It really wasn't all that close. The defense absolutely was just all over them.
Mm-hmm.
That all being said, that the offense is still not where we want it, especially when we're talking, you know, Super Bowls and, you know, playoffs, and the running game just it got better, but it isn't quite there.
Yeah.
You know, the passing game, there's been times where you're like, gosh, what is Kellen calling? You know, there's still miscommunication happening. Wide receivers are still in 5 yards within each other. You're seeing awful blocking, especially by the tight ends and wide receivers that is not helping. So we won. We're a win away from clinching the NFC East now.
A win or a loss from the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, essentially it would take an absolute meltdown on epic proportions for the Cowboys to not be in the playoffs at this point.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the last game. Let's just start there. What were some of your takeaways from the last game?
Well, my main takeaways was that just the defense continues to improve. This is what, the third straight game with four takeaways. That's just insane. Like, winning three games is hard in the NFL. Getting turnovers is hard in the NFL. Having three straight games of four or more turnovers, that's insane. That it's really crazy. They're getting constant pressures on the quarterbacks. Now, I get it. We didn't play the best quarterbacks the last couple of games. Like, I get it. But still, like, these are NFL players. These are NFL lines. You know, the Washington Redskins don't have a terrible offensive line. The Giants kind of have not that great of an offensive line. I get it. But, like, this line is getting pressure. They're playing much better against the run than they were in the beginning of the season. I think it has a lot to do with getting guys like Tank and Gregory and Gallimore back. Gallimore's been an absolute beast in the middle of the line. And last game, because of COVID, we were missing Tristan Hill and Osa Digizua again. So two defense tackles in the rotation who play quite a bit of snaps when they're available. So it's just been really impressive. Now, I do realize that we had two lapses in the run game against the Giants. There was a 31-yard run and a 28-yard run by Devontae Booker. But outside of that, the Giants averaged, I think it was like 2.2 or 2.1 yards per carry, and there are 22 other carries for the game. So the defense overall, I think, played great. And then you alluded to it, the offense. What's going on with the offense? Why is it seem to be sputtering? Why do you sit there sometimes and they're playing great? They'll drive down the field the entire time. They'll get into the red zone, and then they'll just call a play that you're like, they'll run a play that you just kind of leaves you in an important down, like third down, leaves you scratching your head. Like, why did we do that? You know? So it really didn't, like, sometimes it doesn't make sense and it sputters. And then a lot of times we still got to clean up the penalty stand. Like, that has killed us. A lot of times, like, people talk about the play calling, I agree, but a lot of times penalties are still killing our drives. Well, we'll move down to the red zone. We'll get a killer holding penalty, and it'll be second and 20 now. And, you know, we can't recover, we're kicking a field goal or something like that. So we do have to clean up the penalties. I think that's probably the biggest issue I have. But just a dominant game and just conservative. Just, hey, we know they can't beat us, so we're just going to chill.
So there's a couple things there, right? So one of the other issues is some drops. There's been brutal drops. And CD, I don't know what's going on, but like he's even alluded, like he needs to make those catches. So, you know, I think, you know, yeah, the penalties hurt, but man, some of the drops are
drive killing. Yeah.
Brutal, right? And then what you're also seeing beyond just the drops, right, is you're seeing a play that is starting to develop, but they can't hold the block.
Yep.
You'll see a wide receiver screen, and as soon as he's catching it, the defender's on him. Like, he's on him for a one-yard gain or something, right? And you're like, man, why did that blow up? And then you go back and watch it, and, you know, the tight end, the wide receiver, somebody did not hold their block at all.
Well, there was one time – The one time where they moved Schultz in motion, he went out wide and he was moving and he's supposed to go out there and block. And they did it. They threw the screen, the wide receiver screen, and Schultz didn't even get there to get a hand on the block. He completely like, hey, I'm just going to jog out here and just completely whiff on my assignment. Like we've given Schultz a lot of credit. Like Schultz has been great in the, like he stepped up in the passing game and everything like that. He's had a good year. Improved on even last year, but in the blocking game, he continues to struggle badly. And yeah, it's hurting this team because we're, for whatever reason, throwing a lot of wide receiver screens.
Well, and that's, you know, that's going to be the next thing I want to talk about. But you know, what I think, and we've alluded to this, that some of this is the offensive line has had some issues. There's been some health issues. You know, you're trying to get, you know, your quarterback in rhythm, you're trying to do certain things. So there's a ton of screens that are, you know, they're trying to get more out of a running game. And look, screens, while we joke, you know, people joke about it, screens are part of the running game more than they are the passing game in some ways, right?
Yeah.
I get it, but it's just a different way to get somebody the ball kind of at or behind the line of scrimmage in a different manner, right? Yes, it's a pass, but really it helps. It's a lot about the running game too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. I get why they're doing it, but then it's to the extreme where you're seeing it on a 3rd and 8 and they're doing a wide receiver screen and you're like, man, this is, and they'll run it 3 times in a row. You know, so they'll do be a 3rd and 8 and they'll run a wide receiver screen. And then it'll be 3rd and 3 and they'll run a wide receiver screen. And then it'll be 3rd and 5 and they'll run a wide receiver screen. You're like, man, like
they do it a lot on 3rd down for some reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird. So, you know, but that also goes to my whole idea of like why Kellen Moore needs to be talked about. And today, and we'll, you know, this is kind of the alluding into it. So today, Amari Cooper was on 105.3 and was being interviewed by our friend, our wonderful dude, Jeff Kavanaugh. He being interviewed, and Amari alludes to the fact that Kellen Moore isn't really calling any cover two specific offensive plays, right?
Yeah.
No cover two busters, as some people call them, but you know, they're not doing that. He's a little frustrated about 3rd downs and end zone touches, right? Because for whatever reason, they're not targeting him on 3rd downs and in the red zone. So he kind of says this, he backtracks a little bit on the follow-up question, because I think he realizes he probably said a little too much. But that goes to the Kellen Moore thing, right? Like, and we all have been worrying about this offense. And, you know, some people have this idea that Kellen Moore is holding things back for the playoffs, which personally I get why you would, because then teams don't have tape on you. But then on the flip side of that, you're not practicing them in game, right? You're not doing these things in game. And so, you know, we saw Jason Garrett try this once, a couple times actually, where he would hold some stuff back and then get into the playoffs and you were like, okay, this isn't working. Like, what do you, why did you get away from everything? And so I don't know if that's the case, but what's your gut on it in regards to, is Kellen Moore playing it safe, or is there a bigger reason, like teams have adjusted and Kellen hasn't?
I think it might be a little bit of both. I think the teams have definitely adjusted because that's the NFL. And defensive coordinators are smart in the NFL. They figure things out. Like, you've seen plenty of times where guys, quarterbacks, players come into the league or new offenses get introduced and they're explosive and they're really just great. And you're like, wow, this is going to be how it's going to be for the rest of the time. This is amazing. And then defenses figure it out in a year or two and it's gone. The Wildcat, we saw that with the Wildcat for a while. Like, you'll still see Wildcats sprinkled in, but it's not like a common thing anymore because defenses figured it out. You know, the RPO, it's still used really well. It's still successful because it's a really good offensive design, but it's not as well as it was when it first started coming out because defenses figured out. Defensive coordinators figured out how to guard it. So I think it's a little bit of that. Defenses have figured out. But I also do believe that Kellen Moore has gone really conservative. And the first person that I've really had talk about this was our good friend Steven Johnston. He's on Twitter. If you give him a follow at StevieJPTX, great follow. He puts out some great game notes after every game that I absolutely enjoy. And he's been talking about this for a couple of weeks. And he thinks that the Cowboys have gone very conservative. And I kind of agree with him. If you look at the calls are just strange. And it's not just like, you don't go from being 3 years or 2.5 years of play calling to be one of the most explosive offenses just to like not knowing how to call plays anymore. Like, it just doesn't make sense that Kellen Moore just doesn't know how to call plays anymore. So I think that has, and there's just little things that add on top of it. Like last game, it was 3rd and 7 in the red zone and we run a draw. Why? You know, it seemed like he was, a lot of times it seems like he's just playing for the field goal. Mike McCarthy at the end of the first half could have called a timeout with 10 seconds left. Instead, we let it go down to 3, kick a field goal. We could have had a one shot at the end zone, try to get a touchdown. Mike McCarthy's asked after the game, he basically said that they did, hey, we played conservative because we knew we wanted the points because we knew the Giants weren't going to be able to score against our defense. Literally his quote, the Giants weren't going to score against our defense. We were confident with just taking the 3 points. That's like conservative. That's like conservative to the max, you know? So like, I think it has a lot to do with that. And I think it's Skywalker Steel on Twitter, who's been talking about it lately, is saying like Dak saving his body and his runs for the playoffs. Like there's a ton, like everybody's talking about, oh, Dak can't run anymore and everything like that. He has a theory that Dak's just kind of saving those plays and those runs and his body and the wear and tear on his body for the playoffs. And that's going to come out to the playoffs. Now, I know that's easy to say, and we'll just have to wait until the playoffs come. But I mean, there's a lot of signs that are pointing to the Cowboys just saying, we're going to play this conservative. I don't know if you can get away with that against the Arizona team, but we'll have to see what they do.
Yeah, but, you know, they maybe figure, I don't know if they're truly how they're playing for the number one seed, right? Like, I can't say,
yeah,
that, you know, are they doing that? Now, if they get to Arizona and a win and they lock in a number one seed, let's just say, then we might see it more, right? Because then they're assured. But, like, I think it's really risky to be playing so vanilla at times. You know, that's – You aren't practicing it in a game. You're practicing in practice, which is great, but
it's not,
you know,
yeah, it's not the same.
It's not the same, right? You're not playing it against people who are specifically giving you a look that you have to prepare for. You already know how your team's going to play you. You know, mm-hmm. How the other team's going to play you is something you can only see on game day, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, and especially as adjustments happen. So I think it's a little dangerous. You know, hopefully they figure it out. But again, you know, if Kellen Moore is sitting there and he's like, hey, we're just going to go super vanilla. Like, look, man, you're obviously frustrating some players, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so you either need to tell them that, or you need to like really, truly be better about how you approach this.
I don't like it at all. Like I'm saying, like, I believe this is happening. I don't agree with it. I'm a put your foot on the throat kind of guy. Like, okay, if we could win by 30 plus points every game, like, I would do that. But so, like, man, I don't know when this is my issue with it, because can you think of a team that was just so dominant all year long, and then they got to the playoffs, and the playoffs were like, they were dominant offensively all year long, and you got to the playoffs, and every team's like, oh, we figured you out all of a sudden. Like, it's rare. I mean, I guess it can happen. Like, teams get beat. I mean, you can get beat any Sunday, but, like, just to be like, oh, you're no longer a good offense because we've studied tape on you all year. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I would say the only team that really hit, and, like, they still made the Super Bowl, but, you know, the 49ers a couple years ago, you know, they run through the playoffs, right? Because they literally ran through the playoffs. And the Chiefs went in and said, we're going to make Garoppolo beat us.
Yeah.
Right? And because they learned that, they figured that out and sold out to stop the run for a while. And Garoppolo threw the interceptions and
couldn't. So, like, the only one I could really think of is, I mean, that's a good example, but the Rams, the 2017 Rams, when great offense, amazing offense with Sean McVay, and they went into the Super Bowl against the Patriots and Bill Belichick. The problem was Bill Belichick noticed throughout the year that Goff couldn't read a defense to save his life, and that after the defense was set, McVay was relaying in a new call to change the offense, because McVay would read how the defense aligned and then relay it to Jared Goff, and then they'd run the play. Well, Bill Belichick decided, hey, after that 15-second play clock hits and the mic is cut off in Jared Goff's ear so McVay can never talk to him again, I'm going to change my look. I'm going to change my defensive look. And it wrecked Goff, and he didn't know what to do. So, like, that, something like that. But that's wrecked his career, because defense is adjusted to that, knowing, oh, this guy can't read a defense. You know, but, like, so something like that, yes. It's very rare. Yeah.
And look, we're talking about two teams that made the Super Bowl anyway.
Yes.
Like, yeah. You know, so to say they get wrecked, I mean, the only other team you could probably say maybe would be like the Titans or Ravens, right? Because they came in and, you know, they have this amazing run game that they heavily rely on through the season. And you get into the playoffs and some teams are like, okay, now beat us in the air.
Yeah.
You know? And you couldn't. But, you know, this explosive offense thing, man, I can't figure out why they're doing it. But hey, you know, it's until it goes wrong, really wrong, we have to just kind of sit by and watch it. Right. And let it fall. You know, and so talking about, you know, this last game and talking about Kellen Moore and this offense and where the defense is at, you know, one of the side things that's happened this week as we all prepare, of course, is the Pro Bowl elections have come up. And I know you and I are not the big Pro Bowl guys, but listen, you know, there are guys who have that in their contract that if they make a Pro Bowl, they get a bonus, right? There are guys who absolutely enjoy that camaraderie and want to go to the Pro Bowl. Like, not everybody wants to do it. So it's football. We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Cowboys, you know, they only had, what, 5, I believe it was, off the top of my head.
Yep. And a couple – we had some alternates, but yeah.
That's right, all right. Five nominated. Look, if you are a big fan of the Pro Bowl, which I don't know a ton of people that are, today Jalen Hurts was named backup in the NFC. Look, it's a third by coaches, a third by players, a third by fan vote, right? So all three vote. Go way back to the beginning of the season. Way back, like before the season kicks off, and the NFL releases their top 100 players, right, every year. Mm-hmm. We see it, and we're like, who in the heck is putting, you know, Nick Chubb at 2, you know, or whatever. You're like, how is this happening? And you know, you're like, he's good, but top 5, or, you know, or you see a guy left off, right? You'll be like, okay. Oh, really? You want to put, you know, Zach Martin way down in the 20s? Oh, okay. But,
well, I think Zach Martin was like in the 80s or 70s this last year.
But then what you funny see right after that is players' ballots.
Yeah.
And those will come out and you'll see a guy who will put everybody on his team on the ballot, right? Like, or they'll put like their friends. And it's obvious they're their friends, right? Because you're like, there is no way you think that guy is one of the top 100 best players, but yeah. you went to college with him. I know you did, yeah. you know, so you'll see these releases. So, you know, players are from the AFC South. Somebody said it to me today, players in the AFC South are not watching tape on the NFC East this year.
No. Do you think a defensive lineman from the Titans, is watching cornerbacks from the Washington football team? No. Why would he be? You know, they don't play this year. Why would a defensive lineman be watching film on a cornerback? You know, like, it just, they don't do it. They're voting on their teammates and their friends. And,
or, you know, and you get some that will vote it regularly, you know, that are like, they're into it. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to put number one is, you know, whatever, Aaron Donald, or, you know, and they'll list it and they'll be like, yeah, these are the people.
Yeah. But, and I don't know if the same, this applies to the Pro Bowl, but I know it applies to the top 100, is that they released something, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, that said only about 30% of the players actually even vote. Actually, they sent it to every player who is registered with the NFLPA, and only about 30% of the players actually return it. And I have a buddy who used to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bryant Mitchell. He used to be a wide receiver for the Buccaneers. And he told me personally that most players think it's a joke and they don't vote. Like, they're like, this is stupid. I don't care about it. Well, yeah. That's the NFL top 100. I know the Pro Bowl is a little different because they do care about it a little bit for themselves. Cause like you said, it's in their contract.
Some of
them.
Right. So that's a, you know, it's interesting to watch this Pro Bowl thing develop. And look, if you want my opinion on how to improve it, bring back the skills competition.
Absolutely.
Bring back. I watched it for the skills competition.
That's the only good thing. Yeah.
I would also bring back, if you really want to have some fun with it, not just the skills competition, but do you remember way back in the day, they used to have on ABC, I think it was, Wide World of Sports, and they would have players come out and they would do 100 meter races, right? Who could win the 100 meters? Who could win? You know, this obstacle course, and I get it. There was like, you know, people were afraid people were getting injured and all that, but like those things were fun because fans want to see a race between, you know, Tariq Hill and, you know, Ezekiel Elliott or whatever, right? People want to see those types of things go off. Like, who is the fastest player? Well, let's get on the track and find out. Build the game around that and then make the game maybe like, it doesn't have to be traditional football. Like, do something different with the game, right? Like, hey, we're going to do it like the yard on Madden, right? Like, something different, and people might watch it, right? Something a little more even playground-ish, right? Like, let people draw their plays up in the dirt or something, you know, put the mic and camera on it and be like, hey, we're going to see this play develop, you know? And, you know, you got, you know, Aaron Rodgers back there like, all right, Amari, you're going to go up and run this post route. You know, like, have some fun with it. And I think that'll help. But, man, it is not worth what people want to put into it. When people call somebody a great player, they're like, oh, they went to, you know, 10 Pro Bowls. Okay. Sure. I mean, you make 10, that's cool and all. But, like, let's be honest, maybe four of those they didn't really belong in.
Yeah, there's people that get it just for name recognition. Who was it that this year that got it and he barely even played?
Tyron. I think Tyron was a backup.
Tyron's on there. And I kind of agree because he's missed games. But when he's in, he's a top two tackle in the league. But there's somebody else who made it. Bradley Chubb. Chubb made it. Bradley Chubb has played 5 games and he has 0 sacks on the year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's barely played. And even when he did play, he wasn't playing that great. Like, I mean, so what is he doing there? Like, I don't know. So it's really, I don't take him seriously. Like, I'm glad some of these guys have it written into their contract. And if they can get people to vote for him, you know, they get their money. But that's about it. I think it's sad that they can write anything they want into the contract. Literally, they can say, hey, you know, if I make the Pro Bowl, you're going to pay me and 500 jars of jelly beans, you know, like that's just something they could do. So more power to them to get whatever bonus they can get. Like, I'm all for that. It's just, man, the Pro Bowl is just, ugh.
Hey, look, let's just hope that no Cowboy plays in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, that's my goal. Yeah.
They're in the Super Bowl. So looking forward, right? So now we've talked about the week. We've talked about Pro Bowl, which happens right before Super Bowl. Let's talk about this week. Are the Cowboys going to clinch it? What's your gut feeling?
Oh, yeah. There are so many scenarios for the Cowboys to clinch. If the Cowboys win, they clinch. If the Eagles lose, they clinch. If the New England Patriots win, they clinch. If the Vikings win, they clinch. So it's like a whole bunch of scenarios where the Cowboys can lose and the Eagles can win, but like the Patriots win and they clinched. Like, that's not obviously the way you want to clinch it. You don't want to clinch by losing, but you know, I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Cowboys have clinched the division. And I think it happens this week.
Yeah. Which, look, we're playing Washington again.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 weeks. These games are always tough. Like, yes. Regardless of who's quarterback, you're playing a division opponent almost back to back. Like, that is tough. And look, you know, you've played them, the Giants, you know, you got Washington, then you have Arizona, mm-hmm. then you Philly, right? So like you're playing your division opponents with, you know, a solid Arizona team in there. And so I think they clinch too, but this game is one of those traditional trap games.
Yeah, it really is. And it sucks because it's a trap game / division game, which division games are always tough, especially in the NFC East. So you do have that trap game set up there where, hey, you have a very important, especially if like say Green Bay somehow loses to the Browns this week and you've got a shot at the number one seed, like this could be a very big trap. And you're looking like, oh, then all we have to do is we got to get through Arizona. They're the toughest game on the schedule, you know, the remaining. And then it's like, man, it could be a really bad trap game. And I hope that Four and this coaching staff has this team ready to go.
So interesting, right? So we're talking about this being a trap game. We both think they'll win it. You know, now you're playing for, let's say they win, you're playing for seeding. But you're also trying to get guys healthy and rested and ready for the playoffs, right? So you're rolling into Arizona. You've clinched the NFC East. You know, let's say Green Bay loses. You have a chance to lock in the number one seed. Do you go all out against Arizona? Or is this where you start saying, you know what, let's rest?
If I win, if the Cowboys win, and let's say Green Bay loses and we got a chance, forget even Green Bay loses. If the Cowboys win and we go into Arizona, we have a chance to continue to go after that number one seed. I'm going after that number one seed. I'm always playing for seeding. I think that number one seed is extremely important. It gives you that extra bye week. It gives you that game off where you don't got to play a game where you can potentially have injuries. You can potentially lose because these are NFL teams. Not only are the NFL teams, they're playoff caliber teams. And so I want that bye. I want that week away from them. To get ready for, we got to win two games and we're in the Super Bowl. If we lose to Washington, say something hopefully it doesn't happen, but if we say we lose to Washington, then I'm more like, okay, let's rest. You know, we can get the division wrapped up. You know, we can rest a little bit more because if we're almost guaranteed we'll have no shot at the number one seed if we lose another game. I think we have to win out to win get the number one seed. I know mathematically that's not true, but just I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah, that's a little bit of like, would you rather, right? Like, mm-hmm. game, would you rather? And there's no right or wrong answer, right? Because the right answer is whatever it does to win games. Like ultimately, whatever happens, you want to win games. And if rest players means that you're going to win games, and you rest players. But if going for the number one seed means you're going to be able to win more games, then you go for the number one seed. As the team, you have to look at that and say what's more valuable, and what do we have a realistic shot at, where we're not risking players or do we risk players and go for this? Like, that's something, you know, coaching staffs have to figure out all the time. You know, it's why we see guys sit out an extra week sometimes from an injury. It's why we, you know, see guys come back early. It's they're calculating. They're constantly calculating of, you know, they say they don't watch the schedule. They absolutely do. Mm-hmm. You know, they watch where their team is at and how to adjust the roster for the next game, for the next thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
So going against Washington again, home game. Okay. So
first time home in like a month.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Washington's bringing their benches because, you know, I had to bring it up, you know,
such a little brother move, man.
It really is. But, you know, so going into this game, we saw what the Cowboys defense did to Washington 2 weeks ago. Right. Yes. Do you think it's a repeat? Do you think it's going to be better, or do you think Washington's going to adjust a little bit?
Well, first we got to see if their quarterbacks can get off the COVID list. I don't know if either one of their quarterbacks has been cleared yet. Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen were obviously last week. They missed the game and they played Garrett Gilbert. They started Garrett Gilbert, former Cowboy legend, Garrett Gilbert. It'll be interesting if we start against Garrett Gilbert or we see Taylor Heinicke. Maybe he clears. Maybe Kyle Allen clears. None of them really scare me, to tell you the truth. None of them were really like, oh my gosh, I hope we don't play this guy. You know, it's not like Aaron Rodgers back there. So I think that they might try to adjust. They're going to try to establish the run. That's their identity on offense. They need to try to establish the run. They're going to try to get Terry McLaurin in some mismatches. I fully expect Diggs to shadow him again. He shut him out last game before he got injured. So I expect that, but I think it's going to be the same result. That I think they're going to maneuver and try to do whatever they can, but I think it's going to be the same result because I think this defense is just too good and it's too healthy. We got Osa back. Hopefully Tristan Hill will come back. We'll get that defensive tackle rotation going again. Tank Lawrence coming, Randy Gregory coming, Micah Parsons, you know, dropping in coverage, rushing. They don't know what he's going to do. Like, he's everywhere. So honestly, and then our secondary is just amazing. Which is wild to even say. Well, I'm sorry, was that
Malik Hooker's out?
Yeah, Malik Hooker's out. That's a book, but we might be getting Donovan Wilson back. So, you know, that's also, you know, good. I would prefer to have Malik Hooker back there, but Donovan Wilson, that's going to help out a little bit as well. So I'm just, maybe he comes back. I don't think it's a guarantee that he comes back.
Still has a random chance to play with the new COVID protocols and tests.
Yes. So hopefully Hooker can, hopefully Hooker can play. That'd be great if he can play. Cause I know he is vaccinated. So he only needs two negative tests from what I believe, and then he can play. He says he tweeted out that he has no symptoms. So that's great that he has no symptoms. So as long as he gets two negative tests, he should be good to go. We have a few days, in order to get that. But I think it's really going to be the same result. I think this defensive line is going to dominate their offensive line again. I think they're going to shut down the run game. Last game, Antonio Gibson only had 10 carries for 36 yards. And I honestly see more turnovers because no matter what quarterback they throw out there, they're going to throw picks, in my opinion, with the secondary. I think Diggs is going to get another one. And he's going to get that number 11, which would make it the most interceptions in the NFL since 1981. Everson Walls for the Cowboys had 11 in 1981. That's just wild that I think he's got three games to get it, and I think he's going to get it.
Yeah, I think he'll at least get one more. I don't know about maybe one at Arizona. Maybe, you know, they tend to – look, Kyler tends to run a lot. So, yeah. You know, how many opportunities are really going to get? But yeah, I think he'll at least get one more. So, okay. So we're both thinking win.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before we get to score, who are your two key players, right? Your offensive and defensive key player. Who are your two key players?
Okay. So my first key player is going to be, Trayvon Diggs. I get that the Washington Washington's offense is their identity is running the ball. And but I think it's going to be a multitude of players there to stop the run. You got the whole defensive line, Micah Parsons. I think that's it. But again, I said I think Trayvon Diggs is going to shadow Terry McLaurin again, like he did last game. Terry McLaurin got him last year, you know. But this year he owned him. I think it's going to be another good battle. He's going to be shadowing him, and I think they're going to have a hard time getting their passing game going because that's really who they go to. So I think Trayvon Diggs on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, give me. I'm going to steal one from you. I'm going Pollard. I'm going Pollard this week. I think that the way the line is pulling, I know Zeke is said to be 100%. I hope he is. He looked better last week. Hopefully, he can continue to grind it out. But I just think the way with Connor Williams back in, you saw more pulling. Like we were talking about last week with Kyle Yeomans, they were pulling the guards. Both Martin and Williams were getting on the edges, pulling. It was beautiful to see. That is better suited for Tony Pollard's game because when they create those little creases, his acceleration is so good that he can hit that hole before the – you always hear about the there's a hole, but it closed really quickly, right? Well, his acceleration is so quick that he can hit those holes before they close up. And once he gets into the second level, he's getting yards before the secondary can get to him. So I'm going, I think Tony Pollard is going to control the ball. And I think that the carries will be split, but I just think that Tony Pollard is going to have a big day.
Yeah, I'll start on offense. I actually think this is a game for Amari.
Okay.
He's come out, talked about it. There's some questions surrounding it. He's talked about wanting to get more involved in the red zone. I think against of all the teams, I think this is a really good shot for Amari to have a good solid game. I don't know how many touchdowns or yards, but I think he's going to make some really key plays in this game that it's going to give some life to this offense. So I think this might be an Amari Cooper game. Mm-hmm. On defense, I want to say Diggs because I think Diggs is going to shadow. But I think sneakily, this could be a game Anthony Brown does well on.
Yeah.
Right. Look, everybody wants to bang on Anthony Brown. Anthony Brown's been a pretty solid number two all year. Like he really hasn't been phenomenal. Like he hasn't been Diggs, but the plays that people always point to are like they're so random. They're mm-hmm. there's such a random play that you're like, bro, that was an amazing catch.
Mm-hmm.
Coverage like you just can't do more than that, and it the people are like, oh, Anthony Brown. I'm like, bro, that could have been anybody. Like, you see what that wide receiver just did? Like, that's a miraculous catch. Yeah. And it happens once again beyond Brown. So I think with Diggs covering McLaurin, they're going to try to test Brown, especially deep.
Yep.
We saw it last week where they, and we even saw it against the Redskins before where they were trying to get the pass interference and didn't get it.
Yep.
So teams are starting to aim for him. Well, Brown has kind of made him pay a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be a really interesting game for Anthony Brown. And look, I'd love to see Zeke, kind of show that he's healthy and back, because you look playoff football, you need to be able to run in playoff football, right? Teams try to slow clocks down. They do things differently in playoffs because they're trying to look, you eke out a 3-point win, you eke out a 3-point win.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, and if you have to go on the road to a place like Green Bay, it's going to be cold. It might be snowing. It might be really windy, where you can't really throw the deep ball that much. Like, just okay. People went after me on Twitter because in the Giants game, Dak threw that deep ball and it came up like 10 yards short. That wind out there was like 20 miles per hour. Footballs don't just die in the air like that. I'm sorry. Like, you're not coming up 10 yards short because Dak has the arm strength. Like, that wind caught that, and he was throwing into the wind. They were going the direction that everybody, they were missing the kicks. Like they were, and why the ball wasn't getting to the end zone on kickoffs. They were going into the wind on that throw. So I think it was an unwise throw choice because he had to have known, like, I can't get it there with this wind. But so you have that type of environment in playoffs when you go to these teams because it is in January. And so you do sometimes need to be able to run the ball because you're not, you don't have the opportunity to air it out. Now, if we get number one seed, then we're going to be at home in the dome and we don't have to worry about that. But just saying, we don't have that right now.
You know, again, we don't know. Like, none of us know until it happens. But right now, it looks like the Cowboys will win the NFC East. Mm-hmm. They'll probably be one of the top, you know, hopefully top two or three seeds. Where they fall really just depends.
Yeah.
So what's your score prediction?
I think I'm gonna bring it down a little bit. I still expect a pretty good solid win. I'm doing double digits. I have it going to be 13-30. I think the offense, you know, plays well, gets some points. I think they're still rather conservative just because that's the way they've been going. I don't see that changing against Washington. And I think they feel confident in their defense holding Washington's offense. So I think they're going to be rather conservative. I see another touchdown from the defense. So I'm going to go 30-13, the Cowboys.
Right. Yeah. I kind of wanted to say, look, they're going to take it pretty handily, but I'm going to go down and like you and say 27-13.
Okay.
You know, I look, until they can score 30 points, I don't know that they can score 30 points. And so I want to believe, I want them to do it. If there's a game to do it, this is it. You know, because I don't know that you're going to do it against Arizona. Even if you show your cards, I don't know that you pull, unless you're in a track meet with Arizona, I don't see it. And then you're probably sitting people for Philly, and possibly, so you're probably,
yeah.
So I'm going to say it 27-13. I hope they hit 30, but we'll keep it at that. Okay. So we've talked previous game. We've talked a little bit about what Mari said, right? Yep. Like kind of some more talk, you know, offensive woes talk. We covered this game. So before we get into the draft, I have a really interesting question for you.
Yeah, let's go.
On my timeline, it's not Cowboys, but it's an interesting thing. So now supposedly Cleveland is in potentially on Watson.
Wow.
For next season. Initial thoughts since you're just hearing this.
Wow. Well, I'm at one. My first reaction is I'm not so terribly surprised. I was never a big believer in Baker Mayfield. Even at Oklahoma, I didn't think he was that good. I thought, you know, that system it's built for quarterbacks to succeed. And so I was never big on him coming out of the draft. I was surprised that he was the number one pick overall. And then he came up and blew up in his rookie year, and he had this great rookie year, and everybody was trying to shove it in my face about how good Baker Mayfield was. And I was like, guys, it's 1 year, like give him credit. You know, he had a good year. Let's just see. And then he kind of has been relegated to a game manager, and they got a ton of weapons. So I'm not really surprised that they're looking for another quarterback. I'm just really surprised that it's Watson. And I'm really surprised that anybody's looking at Watson because of his legal issues. There's some serious, serious allegations against him. Like, and sometimes I guess the NFL just doesn't care. But like, these are serious allegations. I know that the Dolphins tried to trade for him at the trade deadline, and I heard that they had a deal in place, and if Watson could have settled all of his civil suits with the women, they would have went through with it, but he couldn't get the settlement done, so that's why that trade didn't go through, which just blows my mind because, like, that's just civil suits. He still has a criminal investigation going against him. But, you know, teams sometimes just don't care. So I'm just surprised that it's Watson, because I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole until he's completely cleared of everything.
Unless they think, hey, we'll keep Baker, you know, and then you add Watson. If Watson gets the legal troubles, then you got yourself at least Mayfield for a season, one more, right? Yeah. Look, I don't love it, but here's a thought process. If Watson gets cleared, he's a solid quarterback, right?
Oh, like
he's
absolutely, yeah.
He's a solid quarterback. So now you're hedging your bets,
mm-hmm.
right? To where if he can play, well, guess what? Then we'll try to trade Baker for something.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, maybe at the draft for some picks, or, you know, before the trade deadline next year, because there's going to be, this is a bad going into the draft. This is not the greatest of drafts for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Could walk out and say, hey, Philadelphia, yeah. hey, Miami, hey,
Washington,
here's Baker Mayfield for a one or a two.
My only, I get it, and it's smart from a front office perspective. My only thing about that and why I made that face was, like, Baker is not the type of personality who will sit, lay down with that. Like, he will not be okay with, hey, I'm going to be a backup. Like, he will, like, he's just a type of personality who's like, I'm going to mess some stuff up while I'm here because I'm angry. Oh, and that's what you saw what he did in college, you know?
Like, why I think I'm trying to do a trade, right?
If
Watson's able to clear, then they say, okay, we got this trade piece. If not, then they say, okay, you know, he's you know, suspended for the year or whatever happens. We still have Baker, and Baker's doesn't care, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, not a bad move. I'm just very – it came across as, like, this thing, and I was like, whoa, all right.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, definitely.
Interesting. So going into the draft, this is not a quarterback draft, right?
I think not at all. Well, you know, Kyle did say last week that he was a big Kyle Pickett fan.
But look, like, again, look, I don't dislike Pickett, right? Like, let me be very clear. I don't dislike him. But if I'm putting him up against classes like last year.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say I'm going to put Pickett up there with – you know, at the time, the Justin Fields and the, you know, all of these guys, the Trevor Lawrences and shoot, even the Mac Joneses, I don't know he's there yet.
Yeah.
Granted, I have more tape to watch, but I can't say he's in that stratosphere.
Yeah. And then you just have, well, you know now that this draft has lost two quarterbacks who didn't have good years, but they were looked at as potential draft picks in this coming up draft. And Spencer Rattler, who we now know is at South Carolina, he's transferred, so he's going to play another year of college. He's not entering the draft. And then Keenan Slovis has now left USC, and he's going to replace Pickett at Pitt. He's going to be the Pittsburgh's quarterback. So those are two guys who had bad years. Slovis, his year was terrible in USC. That whole, I mean, they fired their coach in week two. Like, I mean, like week two or three, it was just a mess over there. So you got two guys who were considered as potential first rounders for this coming draft, who have now decided, hey, we have to transfer because our situation got really bad at our schools and we lost our starting jobs. And now we got to go restart and build up our reputation again. So they're starting. So you lost two guys. That's how I'm just speaking of how bad this quarterback draft is that two guys who were considered possible first round picks this next year lost their jobs and now have to go rebuild the reputations. So it's a really bad draft for this year for quarterbacks. And if you're in need of a quarterback, man, I feel bad for you.
Going to be back to why if they go after somebody like Watson, they got a piece for a team that is like, man, I don't like this class, or maybe they miss out on their one guy they wanted, right?
And if I'm Watson, I'm doing everything I can to get rid of all this loss, settling every claim, throwing as much money as I can, because so many teams are going to go after you this offseason if you can get cleared.
You're going to get paid, like,
yes,
paid. So,
yes.
You know, so we're talking the draft here, right? So the quarterback class is bad. Look, the bowl game's already starting, right? We're already in bowl season. You've seen some of the smaller bowls kick off. We have some really big bowls coming up with some key players.
Yep.
What positions, now not just for the Cowboys necessarily, right? What positions are you looking at for the bigger bowl games? And then where do you think, looking at those, where do you think a class may jump up and surprise you over the next 3 or 4 months? you know, we've talked, there are some downsides to some of this class. There are some upsides too, like mm-hmm. offensive line and stuff like that. So which position groups are you like, man, I'm really interested to see this against bigger opponents. And then on top of that, which group do you think can improve itself the most through these, you know, the games, the Senior Bowl on forward? Is there a group that can do it?
That's a really good question. And I'm actually, like, we're just talking about one of the positions is quarterback. Like, you want to see a quarterback be able to separate themselves in this section. You got the bowl games and you got the Senior Bowl, you know, like, what quarterback can say, okay, I need to take that next step to show these NFL teams I'm worth the first round pick. Like, which ones? Is it going to be a Pickett in Pittsburgh? Is it going to be what's the guy in Cincinnati?
Saw his name flash in my head. Riddler.
Riddler. Yeah. Is it gonna be Riddler? Is he gonna say, hey, I'm taking a group of five team into the playoffs for the first time ever against Alabama? How am I going? Can I win the game? Can I show out and give us a chance to win the game? Like, if he can go and beat Alabama and go to the national championship game while playing really well, this kid might skyrocket up the draft boards. You know what I mean? Like, you have that potential. So I think really when it comes to the bowl games, you're going to have that. And then you're going to have, you know, a lot of these players on. I'm really looking forward to the Cincinnati game against Cincinnati against Alabama, just because you got these kids from a group of five who've been undefeated for pretty much 2 years. And now they're in the championship. They're in the playoffs. First group of five team in the playoffs, got a ton of talented players. What can they do against big, bad Alabama and Nick Saban? Like, that's going to be interesting how these kids, because a lot of these kids can make a name for themselves by just showing out against Alabama.
If it's going to be away, it's going to be their defense. Like,
yeah,
Cincinnati's defense, like, people, like, I don't know how they're going to show up against Alabama, but against the players, the teams they played has looked like a legit defense, right?
Yeah, they really have.
So, you know, for me, you know, of course, you always watch the quarterbacks, you know. The one position I'm really interested in, which I also think is the group that has the most chance to improve itself, is wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because there's this – it's weird class because there's a decent group up top, mm-hmm. like first round, maybe early to mid-second, that's kind of sitting there and you're like, all right, I kind of know who these guys are. And then you kind of get to this, like, fifth, sixth, seventh round kind of group. And in between, there's like a sprinkling of a couple guys, right? And yeah. I think this is the group, this is the time where you'll see some of those bottom guys will be like, hey, wait a minute, don't forget about me. You know, like, I'm going to show out in the Rose Bowl, let's say, or whatever that might look like. And I think that's the class that's the potential, is that you'll start seeing some guys start moving up into those middle rounds, especially as Senior Bowl hits. And they're going up against, you know, another corner. I just think that's the group that is the most to potential. The other group I'm interested in watching is defensive line.
Yeah.
And part of that's a Cowboys thing. And look, people are always asking me why defensive line. Look, a couple of the things we know is we have a lot of free agents coming up. This defensive line is going to need more pass rushing.
Yes.
Just around, just backup, just depth pass rushing, depth run stoppers. Mm-hmm. You have a guy, Brent Urban, who is injured, right? May make it back to the playoffs. Probably not. Highly doubtful. He's probably done for the rest of the year.
I think he is.
Could he make it back to the Super Bowl? Really outside chance, but I doubt it. Who else do we have besides Tank that you can look at and go, that's a run stopper. That's a run defender. You have guys that make plays in it. And this includes the linebackers. You've seen flashes from LVE. Mm-hmm. You've seen flashes from Parsons. You've seen flashes from all of them. But to say this guy is a run stopper, who do you have?
I don't think you have. I would have said Urban. Yeah, you mentioned Urban. He's gone. Bohanna has the potential, but he's not there yet. He's too fresh. He's too young. He needs to add weight. He needs to hit the weight room. He needs to get stronger and be able to hold up those blocks. I think Gallimore can be that. I really do. But he's not there yet, and we haven't seen enough from him because he's been injured most of the year. But he's been outstanding since he's come back. And Tristan Hill is in that mix too. But I agree with you that I don't think there's somebody that you're like, yes, that's – I can make an argument for a couple of people, and you can just as easily argue against him and tell me why they're not. You can't do that with Tank, and Tank is the only one. If I say, hey, Tank is a great run defender, there's no argument you can make that says, oh, no, he's not. Like, it's just – this dude is a beast. He's a great run defender. You can't make that argument for – you can't make – as concrete of an argument for anybody else. So I agree with you there. We don't have any. We have people that flash, like you said, and we have people that have potential to get there. So yeah, I'm with you. I went quarterbacks because it's always the quarterbacks. Like, you always have quarterbacks who aren't highly rated and aren't highly looked at, and then all of a sudden they skyrocket up the boards during bowl season and during the Senior Bowl. And that's why, I'm trying to figure out which one's going to do it. And I think it might be Riddler, because if he can play great in the playoffs, that's going to be the guy. But that's the obvious one. But defensive line is the other one I was thinking about. So I'm right there with you. I want to see a guy who is going to not necessarily like completely dominate, like say Namakon Sue did when he was at Nebraska. Like, you're not going to have, that'd be awesome. You have a guy like that, but he's not going to fall to where we're picking. You know what I mean? So you need a guy who's going to show out and like, hey, this guy, okay. Like a Barmore, who shows out and just kind of dominates in the playoffs. And you're like, okay, he just moved from a 2-3 to a 1-2. I like that guy. Something like that. That's kind of what I'm looking for, like a Barmore.
I'm really looking for a starter year one. Like, I want a guy who's going to contribute. I don't need him to be, hey, you're stepping in and being Aaron Donald day one, mm-hmm. or in Jonathan Sue, right? Like, what I need is a guy that if Randy or Tank go down, I need a guy there who I can look at and go, you can pass rush. I have Parsons. I understand that. But you can also pass rush.
Yep.
And now I'm not relying on one guy to try to get me pressure on the quarterback from the edge. I think they need that. And then, look, the run stopping is great. Look, Gallimore has done great to shoot gaps. Mm-hmm. But we're still seeing little pieces at times, which is how some of these teams are building
mm-hmm.
these bigger runs, right? Some of these guys are either not getting off their block, or they're getting upfield and they're getting out of position.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, look, it happens. I get it. It's not like it's a horrible thing. It hasn't been egregious, but it has been something we've seen where you're like, okay, this guy can get through the line, but now he's caught himself in space and it's a handoff and, he didn't set net, the edge wasn't set. Right. And so now it looks really bad. So I'm just looking for guys that are your number two backup guy, or the guy that can step in and say, I can be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who's that in the second round? Who is that guy? First round, look, right now I'm still looking at offensive line personally. If I'm the Cowboys, free agency, a whole bunch of stuff has to happen before that. So that could easily change.
Yeah.
But it is just right now, like, I need defensive line depth. And I don't just mean like a dude sitting there. I need a guy who's going to contribute.
Yeah.
Right. I need both. So I don't know. It's just kind of where I'm at with this draft. Right after the new year, after all the big games played, is when I really start going into tape, because now I have an idea against better teams, right? Like, look, when we all talk about watching tape, and we'll go through and, we'll watch it. Let's say there's, 10 games. We'll probably watch 8 of them. Some of us will watch 5 of this guy, 10 of this guy, because we can't figure it out. Like, there's a whole spectrum of how you watch it, right? And so what I really like to do is wait until – and look, I'll watch some of the tape early, but I really like going into the bowl season, because now you're not getting, is Riddler a fraud because all he's played is Power Five? I don't think he is. I'm just saying a guy like that, where you'll get a guy and you'll be like, man, this guy's really, really good. And you're like, okay, but the best team they played is Citadel.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. let me see what he does against, you know, Florida State or Clemson or, you know, or Michigan or the Buckeyes or whoever, right? Like a bigger program with better players.
Yeah.
How do you show up? You know, are you the same dude? You know, do you at least have the same technique? Is your technique completely thrown off because now you're playing a guy who is stronger than you? Mm-hmm. You know, like how does that work? So that's just kind of little bits of like how I like to look at it. And so I'm really excited to kind of delve into it after the new year. So yeah, that's my little draft talk there.
Absolutely. Love it.
So it is Christmas. And so I would like to personally, and I know you probably want to say something after this, but I personally want to thank all of you listening. I wish you all a happy holidays, whatever holiday or no holiday you celebrate. Enjoy this time of year. You know, people are off work, families are together. Value it. You never know. Value that time. You know, I personally, I have my grandson here right now. He's actually downstairs with my wife and some friends of his. They just finished building gingerbread houses. You know, they're gonna come over Saturday next week. I'm actually going to be traveling to Missouri to see my oldest and youngest daughters up there to spend the holidays, a little bit of holiday time with them. So I hope all of you have a great holiday. Be safe. Enjoy the game. But seriously, thank you guys for listening and happy holidays. Joseph, you want to say anything?
Yeah. I just want to kind of echo your sentiment. It's just happy holidays, guys. Enjoy your time with your family. You know, for all the people that, you know, aren't able to spend time with their family for whatever your circumstances is, you know, try not to spend it alone. Reach out to somebody, reach out to anybody and just say, hey, you know, what are you doing? How are you doing? Just catch up, call somebody you haven't talked to in a couple years or a couple months and ask them how they're doing. Just make sure they're having a good holiday. Make sure they're enjoying the holiday season. And if you are able to spend it with your loved ones, like Dan said, cherish it. Cherish every moment because, you know, this is what we got in life. You know, that's who you got in life. So cherish every moment with them and enjoy it. And hopefully we can enjoy a Christmas present from Santa this year. The Cleveland Browns knocking off the Green Bay Packers for us. That's my wish. And I got to go sit in Santa's lap and make that wish for us.
Well, you know, Santa may kick you off on that one. I don't know. You know, and look, I'm going to go serious note real quick, guys. Listen, both, if you don't know, Joseph and myself are both veterans.
Yes.
You know, this is a really hard time of the year for veterans. Highest number of suicides occur across the nation, not just veterans, during the holidays from Thanksgiving through Christmas. So if you know a veteran, call them. If you're a veteran, call a buddy, check on them. Like Joseph said, you know, call people and just say happy holidays. It makes all the difference in the world to people know somebody is thinking about them and caring for them. And if you can open your home to somebody, open your home to somebody, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're able to do that. And look, if you're a veteran and you're listening to this because you're a Cowboys fan or you're just a fan of football and you're listening to this podcast, you stumbled onto this podcast and you're a veteran, or even if you're not a veteran, if you're somebody who is alone and struggling, reach out to somebody. Honestly, reach out to somebody, ask for help. It's not cowardly to ask for help. Everybody needs help. I need help. I've reached out to people before. Yeah. I've reached out to people before and look, find me on Twitter, at the JA Massey. Find me on Twitter and open my DMs are open to you. Reach out to me, you know, if you need to talk to somebody about something. Like Dan said, I spent Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's in Iraq alone by myself. So I've been there. I've been alone. I've been away from my family during the holiday season and it's awful. So I know what you're going through. So if you need to talk to anybody, reach out to somebody that you're comfortable talking to, or if you want to reach out to me, reach out to me. My DMs are open.
You know, it mental health matters, you know, but just reach out to us. You know, you can find me at Dan_Rupert, R-U-P-P-E-R-T. You know, I'm always available to talk. I am also trained as an assist for suicide prevention. So look, reach out to me. I'm happy to talk. I'm also ACT certified, assist certified. I work with veterans on a daily basis. You can always reach out to me. I'll be happy to help, even if you're not a veteran. So little fun, little serious. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap it up with a little fun. For those who didn't check it out, I don't know, Joseph, did you check out my, my 'Twas the Night Before Christmas Cowboys edition?
Absolutely loved it. Absolutely. Great poem for Cowboys fans.
For those who have not seen it, you can go to Sport DFW on Fansided, where, of course, all of my articles are. And you can read it there. I will let Joseph do where he, you can find him. And if you would like, I will pull it up and I will close the show with a reading of the poem.
Absolutely. Let me just real quick, check out, we are part of the Star Boys Network. This podcast is part of the Star Boys Network. Check out starboysnetwork.com. Also, that's all where all my written work is. You can find me on starboysnetwork.com. You can just click on there. I just released an article on the defense today proclaiming, like, do we dare? Do we say this is the doomsday defense? I say yes. Go to starboysnetwork.com, find out why. What is my reasoning for saying they're back to the doomsday defense? But Dan, please go forward. Let's close this out with the poem.
Was the weeks before playoffs throughout the NFC East. Every Cowboys fan was smiling, eating their Christmas feast. The Giants were out, the Redskins were too. The sweetest thing ever are the Eagles fans' boo-hoos. When out on the field, there arose such a clatter, I ran to my TV to see what was the matter. It was Parsons and Lawrence rattling an enemy head. Ezekiel Elliott making the motion on getting fed. Cooper and Lamb running wide open for the win. Diggs, Hooker, and Curse putting a smile on Quinn. This looks like a run for another Super Bowl ring. Sorry, NFC East fans, your teams can't do a thing. So enjoy your Christmas, Cowboys fans big and small. Who saw this coming at the beginning of fall? So dash away Martin, Dak, Randy, and Bones. Go bring a sixth Lombardi to its rightful home. Another title will be every fan's dream. Show the world why you are America's team.
Rah. I love it, man. Absolutely love it.
Anybody who liked it, there are previous versions. You can go back through all of my writings and find them. They're there. And I do update them every year. The Cowboys are in first place around Christmas, looking like they're going to solidify. So if they do it again next year, there'll be another version out. I change a little bit of it, obviously, some of it can stay the same, but happy holidays from us here at 40.
Absolutely.
Next week, we will catch you on the flip and we will talk New Year's. Why not?
That's right. Have a good one, everybody.
Peace.